Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to Strictly Anonymous on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand. You can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you want to follow Strictly Anonymous Podcast on Twitter, follow the show at Strictly Anonymous, me at Cartoon Therapy. If you haven't subscribed to my show, subscribe. If you can write a review or rate the show. If you want to be on the show, this is a call and advice show where I talk to total strangers about all kinds of things. I like to give advice if you have a problem, even if it's a regular problem, just about love and relationships or any kind of problem. And you have no friends or your friends don't want to listen to you anymore. I'll be your friend for an hour and give you advice. You could call into my show. Or if you just want to talk about like a interesting life that you have or a secret life that you have, send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. So today I have on a guy named Jeff. And Jeff wrote in, and he has a really interesting story. One big part of his story I forgot to bring up, and we didn't really have time for it, so we're going to do a part two with this guy, Jeff. But the things that we do talk about on this podcast is the fact that him and his wife had a very sort of interesting sort of journey in their marriage, right? They started off as like super religious. They were Jehovah's Witnesses, which I don't really know much about. I ask a lot of questions about that. And then they eventually left the church. And after they left the church, many years after, they became swingers. Now, that just sounds like a fucking jump, right? Like, how did they go from being Jehovah's Witnesses and virgins when they're married to being swingers, quote unquote? That's a word. We talk about how bad that word is on the show, but that's what we discuss. I ask him a million questions, so you hear the whole story. We talk about what goes down in that religion, what went down in his marriage before he left, why they left the church, and how they went from being sort of a couple who was very regular in their sex life and in their marriage for most of their marriage to becoming people who were going to swingers clubs and swingers parties and eventually opening up their relationship to where they now see other people and they know about it and they're cool with it. We talk about all that stuff. We get all the details and it's really interesting. There's another thing that I forgot to talk about. He's also into pantyhose. We don't get much into that. And his wife is into pantyhose and they made her like a pantyhose model. And she's like on some website somewhere. They created a thing where she gets like paid for it and she's got thousands of followers. And that's going to be a whole separate podcast. His whole pantyhose thing, her whole pantyhose thing, because we just didn't have time to talk about it because all the other stuff was super interesting. So anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Jeff.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone?
To anyone?
Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story
and your anonymous name.
And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous.
Strictly Anonymous.
Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. You're another, like, I get so many pantyhose guys emailing me, but like lately the pantyhose people that, but a lot of times the pantyhose people who email me have all these other stories going on. So I don't even really talk that much about the pantyhose stuff because I've had already so many pantyhose episodes. But like, because to me, what's interesting about you, and I'll just give like a quick summary because you gave me that in your email and then we'll just like get into the details. But what's most interesting about you is like you and your wife were married. You've been married a long time, right? And when you guys were married, though, you guys were virgins, both of you, right? You were also
yes.
deeply religious. And I've heard this story before from Mormons, okay? And then eventually, and we'll talk about the timeline, right? Eventually, you got out of your church and you stopped going. And then, like, fast forward many years later, you guys became swingers. You opened up your relationship and you guys have had, like, a lot of really great experiences, right? And you've been doing that yeah. for a bunch of years now. And that's what I want to talk about because that story is always fascinating to me. Or were you guys Mormon? Like, what kind of religion were you?
We were not. We were Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, okay. But that's hardcore too, right?
It's very hardcore. In some ways, probably more hardcore than Mormons, but I would say a similar level. I mean, it's serious. It is your life. It's right. not a part of your life. It is your life.
Right, right, exactly. Like you said, that's yeah. a good distinction. It's not a part of your life. It's your whole life, right?
It is your whole life, yeah. And when you leave, which is, I think, a really interesting subject, matter mm-hmm. too, not at all why I emailed you. When you leave, it's a really big deal because our kids were already in elementary school when we left. We had kids very young. We got married very young. Mm-hmm. You leave everybody behind. You know, my wife, she was the first person in her family to leave. So from both of her grandparents on both sides,
yeah,
all the way on down,
yeah,
she was the very first person to leave. So all
wow.
of her aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody. And my family wasn't not that much into it, but, you know, my parents were and a couple of my siblings. And you don't totally lose everybody, to kind of depending on how you leave, but you pretty much do.
It's kind of like Scientology. It's like
kind of
excommunicated.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. This is the kind of stuff I can like dive deep into because I find it fascinating. When I had a couple Mormon, like eventually I had a bunch of Mormons on and I got the whole story, but I'll probably wind up asking you a lot of these questions because I don't know that much about Jehovah's Witness. I just think of the people that knock on your door, right? Is that
right.
you guys, right? Is that
that was how we were both raised. Yes, my wife and I. Yep.
And so the whole virgin thing was because of you guys were both Jehovah's Witness, right? And now let me ask you, how does it work with getting married in that religion? Like, were you guys set up? Did you, or is it just that you have to meet somebody who's another Jehovah Witness? Like, what goes down? Like, how did you meet your wife?
Right. That's exactly what it is. They strongly encourage you to only marry another witness.
I mean,
you could marry somebody who's not, but it would affect your standing. You wouldn't want to. It would be looked down on, especially if you're in a so-called strong family. That's not normally going to happen. And when it does, it basically means you've either left or you've accepted the fact that you're going to be looked down on.
Right.
You just kind of meet each other.
The weird thing about dating is
you have to be chaperoned when you date somebody of the opposite sex.
Oh, really? And when are you allowed? Because I'm assuming you all listen, right? And you like do what your parents say and what the religion says, right?
Not exactly, but you kind of do. At least in a public way. No, not entirely. I mean,
you're like normal in that sense where that you kind of like break the rules behind your parents' backs, like most young people.
Exactly. People
right.
are human. Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I mean. Right. So that does go down. Let me ask you this. So like, when are you allowed to start dating?
Kind of as soon as you're old enough where you could get married,
we got
married in 1990. So we're dating in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Things were a little different then. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's not like the 50s, but still
yeah.
things were different in the 80s and people got married more often at a younger age and more so in that religion. So when we got married, I was 18, my wife was 20, but I was almost 19 and she was just barely 20. So
right.
we're a year apart, but mm-hmm. that wasn't abnormal. Like getting married at 19, that was not an abnormal thing in that religion. And we started dating kind of quietly because we were young, or at least I was, when I was 15. But then by the time I was 16 and getting 17, we were going on dates, chaperoned, and our parents knew we were dating and started to get kind of serious. But you can only date with the purpose of getting married.
Oh, interesting. So you got to meet the girl and be like, this is someone that I think that I could see myself with, and then you could go on dates.
Right. If you're not old enough, you know, reasonably where you could get married, then you're too young to date. And you can't just date for fun. That's not the purpose of dating. They're very literal in terms of, you know, what they take from the Bible. And so this is one of the things they teach. Yeah, you date to get married.
And who chaperones you? Like, is it your parents, or do they have like a, do they sort of, is it like a babysitter kind of a thing that they have someone come in and go out with you guys and report back or something? Like, who's a chaperone?
Yeah, it can kind of be whoever. So a lot of times for us, it would be friends, siblings, that sort of thing. It doesn't have to be an adult. You just can't be alone, because their whole theory is if you're...
Temptation.
A guy and a girl are alone, they're going to fornicate. You know, that's going to happen.
Yeah, they're right. It is totally. Gonna yeah. Yeah. But wait, so before you guys were like, so you're chaperoned on every date for real, right? So like, do you get to any bases with each other? Like, do you have, if you want to make out with each other, do you do that in front of the chaperone? Does chaperone let you like sort of, what happens? How does it work?
So, well, I mean, I'm sure it's different for everyone, right? I mean, just like anything else. But for us, we spent a lot of time together, like at our parents' houses. We both lived at home with mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
And so they wouldn't be in the same room as us all the time. So there were opportunities to kiss and do some stuff. And we did.
Yeah.
We did some stuff. Yes, we did.
And how far? Because I knew some Mormons that were doing a lot of crazy things, except like, you know, putting it in, which you're just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I mean, you know, but like, how far did you guys get before you got married? What base?
Well, so I had done stuff with girls that I went to school with before my wife's. So I had done more than her.
Mm-hmm.
So to the point when we got married, she had kissed two other boys, like a peck on the kiss, and that was it.
Yeah.
Any other boy other than me. And I had done other stuff, but never intercourse with girls that I went to school with that had nothing to do with our religion.
Right.
But then together... I definitely fingered her at some point.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember this weirdly, but she has a memory of me somehow going down on her somewhere briefly. And we always talked about it, you know, in later years. We didn't talk about it for a long time. So I don't have as strong of a memory of it as she does, but she never did that for me.
She didn't blow you, but you went down on her.
Maybe she had touched me through my pants or through my underwear, but there was never a hand job or a blow job or anything like that.
And let me ask you this. How was your wedding night? Like the first time you guys have sex, was it like amazing for the both of you because you have like so much chemistry, or was it like awkward because you hadn't done anything with each other kind of yet? Like,
so it wasn't amazing, but I think it wasn't amazing because it was our wedding day.
Right.
So we had this big wedding, you know, there's 250 people there, and it was at this big wedding hall, and you got the whole thing, the ceremony, you know, at the church,
exhausted.
And then the pictures and this, the whole thing is this, it's a terrible day for it to be the first time,
right.
You know, and so we did though, because of course I couldn't wait, you know, mm-hmm. I wasn't waiting until the second day.
Yeah.
I'm 18 years old, almost 19, and I was a really horny kid. So we did, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
Let me ask you a quick question that I forgot to ask you before. What about jerking off? Like, A, did you do it? And B, is it okay in your religion, or was it taboo?
It's absolutely not okay. And mm-hmm. Yes, I did it. Yeah,
right.
I did it. And I and I actually came clean to her about it when we were engaged. And like, I was very emotional about it. Like, I felt really bad. Like, I really had real guilt over it.
Because of what was put on you, because what was told, right? I mean, this was, like you said, your religion was your life. So you probably took the stuff that they told you to heart.
Yeah, for sure. But I did it. I didn't admit how often I did it.
You know,
I was like, this is something that's happened. I've done it. I'm really sorry. You know, I feel terrible about it. I hope I don't do it again. I don't know if I will or not. When in reality, I was probably jerking off daily at the time. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. And what about her?
No.
She had never.
She had not.
Okay,
had
cool.
Not.
So you guys get married, right? You're super young. You're still in your religion. Eventually, I'm assuming the sex got great, right? After your first marriage, everything was good?
First and only marriage. Yes. After we got married.
No, I mean, after the wedding night, not after your marriage. I mean, like after the wedding night where it wasn't so great, it was like it eventually got good. You guys had good sex. Everything was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We had good sex. We had great sex. Yes. But it wasn't crazy sex. It was very traditional missionary. I went down on her a lot. She was not into giving blowjobs.
Okay.
At some point, obviously things change eventually, but she didn't like it. It was kind of felt wrong to her and kind of gross, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I hate to speak for her.
Right. But that's kind of what you remember her sort of. The vibe
Yeah. Blowjobs are like an anniversary thing, you know?
Right. Like for your birthday. why do you guys leave your religion? What happened?
It's very difficult to explain to somebody that has never been a witness. If you had been, I could explain it easier.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I started to have just some serious questions about things. There were things I never believed.
Yeah.
But I just totally discarded them. I put them off to the side, kind of put them in a little box, left them alone. And then right around 2000, we did a big project in our house, and I did it mostly myself. I'm helped from a lot of family, especially my father-in-law. And I was so busy for those 6 weeks that we built this giant addition in our house and redid it and had to get it done for the bank in 6 weeks. I didn't go to, they call it the Kingdom Hall, their church.
Uh-huh.
And I just didn't go at all. I was just, which is extreme because there's 3 meetings a week at the Kingdom Hall and you go door to door in addition to that. And back then, they've changed since then, but you go door to door. So 4 times a week, you're going
there
at least sometimes more.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't go at all for that.
But if you really
time.
Think about it, I just got to tell you, if you really think about how smart that sort of concept is, right? Because it keeps you, it doesn't give you time to start thinking, you know what I mean? To get the fuck out, right? Like, look, you didn't go for 6 weeks and then all of a sudden you were like, you know, AWOL, right? But like
no,
when you were going all the time, no, but I'm just saying like, you know,
yeah.
When you're going all the time and you're doing it all the time, like it does give you less time to sort of have those doubts. Maybe you have them, like you said, but you the next day you're walking around or you're back in the Kingdom Hall. So like you just leave it in the box. But you had 6 weeks of none of that, right? So maybe all that stuff started to percolate.
That's absolutely right. And there were things before that, like they're very down on associating with people who are not witnesses. They really discourage involvement in school activities for kids, sports, mm-hmm. going to dances, anything really.
Yeah.
They want you to only associate with other witnesses. And we didn't buy into that for our kids. So even while we were witnesses, our kids were playing, Little League and AYSO soccer. We felt it was important for them to do all that stuff. So while they weren't going to kids' birthday parties that they went to school with, they were playing baseball and soccer and stuff like that. And so we were kind of starting to be rebels a little bit back then. And then
good thing your wife was like-minded. I mean, you definitely married the right person, you know, because imagine you were with somebody else who was very, you know, sort of by the book and didn't want that, you know, because I think when you have kids, you realize you have very strong sort of feelings about things, right? And if you don't sort of if you conflict with your partner on them, that's a big fucking problem, right? You know, if you had a wife that was like, no, I want to go by the church and we can't have them be in soccer and all these things and you wanted it. I mean, you were lucky that you and your wife were on the same page.
Yeah, you're right. I was. And I think a lot of that is not just a matter of, I mean, I think a lot of it is luck, but a big portion of it too is you know, really good communication, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that with some of the other things that I think we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But we've always been really good about that. We talk to each other. My wife's not, it doesn't come easy to her sometimes to talk about difficult subjects, but it does me, and I'm content to push it, and I'll push her beyond her boundaries, and we have these great conversations. We're certainly each other's best friends for sure. And so I think during that time before 2000 and those, you know, 2 to 3 years before then, and then this abrupt thing happens in 2000 where you're exactly right about, I had this 6 weeks, a little longer, where I didn't go at all. And then the first time I went back, I looked around and thought, this is not for me. For the first time in my life, I had never had that thought even.
Wow.
And even while I wasn't going, I thought, well, I'll just start going again.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had these things in my head that bothered me, when I started going again, like the first time back, I was like, yeah, no. So communication became huge at that point, because there's never been even a moment, not a day, but not even a moment where I thought my wife and I wouldn't be together until we die. You know, I've never thought that. I know we're in it no matter what. So there was a time when she was still going and involved and trying to keep our kids somewhat involved, and I wasn't, and we had to work through that, and we did.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty great. That's pretty amazing.
We're pretty lucky.
Because I'm
that,
sure yeah. there were people in her family, right, that were telling her maybe she shouldn't be with you, you know, because what you were doing, right? Because they were hardcore.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, we talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
Yeah, you know, there weren't too many of those conversations. There's a big thing in their religion, the head of the house being the man.
Oh, and that's good. It's,
yeah, that's a big thing. And so, you know, if it was the other way around, there probably would have been a different type of pressure. But for her, you know, she's not going to get a lot of pressure from the elders to usurp her husband's authority, which sounds crazy to me now.
No, like, that makes sense.
That term just flashed back into my brain from pre-2000, but like that's a term that they would use from time to time. So she didn't have a ton of that until kind of she started to drift away too, and then there was more pressure on her from her family and me too, for that matter, to, you know, come back. And they have this big family reunion that her family does every year. There was one year, I'm not sure where it is in the timeline of things, but we were uninvited. We were basically just asked not to come. And so that led to a lot of conversation with her brother and her cousins and her parents. And but she was already pretty much done at that point. And that was the nail in the coffin for her.
Right. When they were pushing her that way.
Yeah, when they were like, yeah, you can't come to the family reunion because you guys aren't going to the kingdom hall. She's like, well, this is your decision, not mine. You know, she was barely, you know, she was going out almost out of obligation to begin with. And then Dee was like, this is certainly not the true religion if this is the way you're going to treat people.
Right. No, that's very, listen, I think it's very brave of you guys to, you know, get out and sort of followed what you felt and was right, you know, after your whole life of being in this, you know. I think it's great that you were, like I said, we're both on the same page and chose to do it together and kept your family together. And so how do you go from that? I mean, you had a bunch of years before. It's not like you got out of the church and you guys became swingers, right? And this is, you're married to a woman who won't barely blow you, right? So how do you go from that to starting to open your relationship up to other people?
Okay, so it is kind of, I guess it's somewhat complex, but you kind of look for markers along the way.
Yeah.
And you look back and try to decide. And a huge turning point in our marriage was probably around 07, I want to say, or 08. I had an affair.
I was going to, honestly, I was going to say, did someone cheat? Because your timeline, you were like, at this point, like, no one had been with anybody yet. At this point, we start, you know, and I'm just like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That means somebody cheated, right? Yeah.
Right.
Before,
yes,
because it was,
exactly what happened. Yeah. Because neither of us had done anything
with other people.
Said,
and then
we
you're
got
like,
engaged, I had done stuff with girls in high school. But during our marriage, I had not so much as kissed anybody else. She certainly never did either. Nothing. We were faithful. I was faithful. I was a really horny guy.
I was looking at porn on the internet.
You know, I was still, you know, I was a little bit of a freak, but I wasn't acting on it.
But what, how did the affair happen? If you could, like, what?
So around, I'm not sure if it was 07 or 08. So yeah. I went to a bar with a friend. which is something I didn't do. I didn't go to bars. You know, even after we left the religion, I had young kids.
Yeah.
And I was busy. You know, we started out life kind of poor. I mean, we're very comfortable right now, but I was working hard, and
right.
she was too. And we had little kids, and I coached all their sports and was involved in everything. And I felt like I had to succeed in that. And
right. You were focused
really
on family
was, yeah,
and
really,
your career and everything.
I really was. Yeah. Uh-huh. So any deviant behavior of mine was spent in the office at the computer for a half hour at night in pornography, you know?
So the first time you go to a bar, when you start going to a bar, all of a sudden, this is like a whole new world for you.
Very first time I went to a bar, went with a friend, and couple of girls came in who one of them was a couple years ahead of me in high school. And I, along with everybody else, had a crush on her in high school, you know, back in high school. She was gorgeous. So now fast forward 18 years after high school or whatever it is. And to me, she's still gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she's really, really
she
attractive.
Kept herself
woman.
Up. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She looked good. Pretty, you know, I thought so anyways. But she came into the bar with a friend, and they had been drinking. They were already drunk, and me and my friend had a few, and they were wild girls and married girls, but they were shocked that I was there. They were like, "Oh my God, you know, can't believe you're here. It doesn't make sense that you know, you kept using my name first and last, that you were, you know, in the bar." And they're like, you're like the hot dad in our, they referred to our town.
Yeah. So they knew you were married.
Like,
they know
that.
You.
Like, I didn't know anybody referred to me as that. You
oh
know?
My God.
I was
hilarious.
Like, I was like really flattered by that and thought it was awesome. And, and they were drunk and wild. It was a Thursday night, and by 1 o'clock in the morning, we were still there, and they were showing their boobs, and I ended up in the bathroom with one of them. And, then in the van,
I was just going to say, did you fuck someone in the car?
her minivan. We threw the car seat in the back and things happened. So that kind of, you know, one thing kind of led to another. And I didn't think I was having an affair. I thought.
Oh,
I really
you
thought,
continue to see that girl.
Well, we were friends. We're in the same small town, and we see each other out, and I, each time, you know, something happened, I thought, well, this is wrong and I can't do it again, but she's awesome and she's fun. And, why wouldn't I hang out with her still or with her friends and whatever, but things kind of kept happening.
But let me ask you this, were you having any issues with your wife at the time, or was it just everything with your wife was like really great? And it just happened that this girl was there and because she was hot, you were with her, or was there something going on with you and your wife?
No, everything was great. I would say that our sex had gotten, it was good. It's always been good.
Yeah.
Where I'm attracted to her. She's really beautiful. And she has always seemed attracted to me. I think she would say she is. So the sex was always good. We always had good communication. We were always good friends. We always have liked spending time together. So no, there was nothing bad in the marriage. It was just like, this girl was wild and my wife was not.
Right.
That was really, you know, I was drawn to that. Like a moth to the flame. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, it
was something
awesome
new for you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was doing stuff with other guys and talking about it, even though she was married and she didn't care. And I thought it was amazing. I thought it was awesome. I loved that this was, I didn't even know this stuff went on. I didn't realize I've always been a natural flirt and girls have always flirted with me. I didn't know when somebody flirts, it means they want to fuck. I thought they were just flirting.
But a lot of times it doesn't mean that they want to fuck, just so you know.
Yeah,
but this girl
I've
was
learned,
down.
I've learned that that's not entirely true. But
maybe when you're older.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But I was very, very, very naive and in a short time got exposed to a lot. But I came clean about the affair. I mean, your question was, you know, how did one thing lead to the next? I came clean about it eventually, that this had been an ongoing thing and that several times we had done stuff together.
Oh, my God.
And people in town were talking. I had to come clean, really.
I was going to say, why did you do it? Because you felt like it was just compounded, like eventually she would have found out or... And you wanted to get ahead of the story or like you felt guilty or like what was the reason for telling her?
Yeah, I felt like she deserved to know. And I was afraid she was going to find out from somebody else. And so, yeah, so that was basically what it was. So, and I don't know how it goes when other people who have a reasonably good marriage, when one comes clean and says, hey, and I had lied about it too. You should know. Like, I had lied to her. I had told her, because she had asked. And I said,
yeah, I was going to ask you, did she ever meet the girl? Did she hang out with you guys? Did she, like, you know?
No, she not only did she not hang out with her, she wouldn't have. At the time, we were very different people then. People change a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. We were very different people. At that time, she would have never hung out with her. She would have been with her for 10 minutes and said, get me away from this chick.
Right, right, right. Okay.
Because they were just the opposite of one another. Mm-hmm. And
so she had straight up asked you, though, about this girl. Like, is anything going on? And you looked her in the face and, like, sort of guaranteed her, like, nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yep. So, yeah, that's pretty harsh. But tell me how she reacted when you told her.
It was rough. It was a big fight. It was, she didn't leave. She didn't ask me to leave. But it was really rough. She cried a lot. And I've never felt worse than that night.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked a lot about what we did. And a lot of it was that this girl was, she'd have a few drinks and she was ready to suck my dick. And that was awesome.
Right.
And so that was a lot of it. Because that was something I didn't get at home.
Yeah.
I never got a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her in the afternoon, late afternoon, we made it through dinner with the kids. And then, the deep conversation in the bedroom after the kids are in bed and it's a fight and it's crying and it's how could you? And all of that stuff that I deserved to hear and probably not nearly as much as I deserved to hear. And the whole thing ended with the best blowjob of my life.
What's the moral of that story? I don't know.
I'm for real. The whole, because I had to tell her, she's like, I liked it. And it was really cool. And we had to talk about that. And that very night. And so there's more to that story. To things that have happened in between. I'm not going to share everything. I don't know who's going to hear this.
Right.
So I'm not going to share every detail of everything that's happened between then and now. My wife knows there are things that have happened that she doesn't know about. Anything that would happen now, I can tell you there's no way I would keep a secret from her.
Right. But let me ask you this. So you cheated. Did that lady's husband ever find out? Did your wife tell the husband? The husband found out too?
Oh, yeah.
Did they stay together?
They stayed together too. I should be careful. How many people listen to your show? How likely is it? Okay.
But I change your voice. Listen, you know how many people have this story? Don't worry. Like, your voice is going to be changed. Your name is changed. You know how many people fuck someone's husband? They're not going to know the specifics. Don't worry about it.
Well, they're still together. He had had previous affairs. He had a child from somebody else while he was married to her. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he had a child born like 3 days apart from one of his
children. Oh my God. I think I had him on my show. I had someone on my show like that. But I think it was the woman that got a baby 3 days later.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So he was actually sleeping with somebody during the whole time we were. She didn't know that.
Right.
But he still didn't react well at all.
Of course. There's always that double standard.
Right.
On both sides,
right? Still, just because one person is lying doesn't make it right for the other person to lie still. I mean,
right.
But yeah, the double standard, I don't understand. I never have. But yeah, he didn't handle it well. So, and I could go into that at length too, but I'm not.
Yeah, we don't need to. No, I want to get to the point where you guys are swingers, right? So how do you sort of work through that? How long did it take before? I mean, you obviously stayed together, right? I mean, she sort of learned to trust you again?
Yeah, that was never in question.
Right.
Not even for a moment. And she would tell you that. We worked through it. We talked a lot about it.
I think that's great. I think there's so many people, because the whole thing with cheating and people being with other people, and I just think that there's so many families that have been sort of ripped apart because of cheating. And a lot, listen, there's some kinds of cheating that's worse than others. I don't think you could put all cheaters in the same category, but like a guy like you who, and I think that this happens sometimes, that has been basically for the most part, very monogamous, totally in love with his wife, and then has a sort of falling out or does something or even a woman the same way, And then if the wife finds out, to sort of end the whole thing and have the children sort of be put through all that, you know, just because I just think, you know, that's a lot to sacrifice for the one thing. I just think, you know, because it's not really that big of a deal, right? I don't know. It's easy for me to say because you're not my husband. But it's what I mean is that I think it's really hard to work through and it's hard to get the trust back and everything. But I give you guys credit for doing that. And I give your wife credit for that. And I think that if you have kids and like I said, you weren't like, you know, there's worse types of cheaters, you know. And I think that it was it's great that you guys chose to sort of stick through it and work it out and stay together.
Well, I do too. I think she gets the credit for that though. I mean, you know, yeah. More than I, certainly,
well,
you know,
she
gets
all the
credit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing that she did. And I think in years after that, I have a high sex drive, and I'm, you know, like a lot of people that call into your show, I'm a really horny guy and I'm kind of a freak. And if she did the same thing, she knows I would forgive her. There's no question. I would have encouraged her to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it, at least eventually, not initially, but I think eventually that makes it easier. You know, that we had friends even before that, we had friends that we do have a conversation about cheating and they'd say, oh, if he ever did that to me, I'd leave him. Or
yeah, that's
ever,
what I mean. Yeah,
uh-huh. me, I would leave. And we would always say to each other afterwards, "That's insane."
Yeah,
no
that's
matter what...
what
you did. No matter what you do, and this is before the affair. No matter what you do, we would both say to each other, "I'm never leaving you. You're stuck with me. I love you." And we would always say, "Are they really in love? If one time cheating,
that's
means
what I mean."
Leave.
Yeah, you're saying it a lot better than I did. But this is that's the point I was trying to make, you know. But I think you guys have, like you said, the things that you've said about your wife, like she's my best friend. Like there's never been a doubt in my mind that I want to be with her. So maybe, you know, there's something to that. What you said, like, do they really love each other? Maybe like people that this happens to, that they leave, they have other problems, right, that make it easier to walk away. But like I asked you, were you having issues with your wife? The worst thing was that she didn't give you enough head, but besides that, everything was really great with her, right? So why let, and that's what I think, and that's what I was trying to say, like, why let one sort of transgression ruin a whole relationship? I think it's very extreme, you know, and a lot of people have that sort of rule and they think it, you know, and a lot of people look down on women, or if they do choose to stay, you know, or they, you know, and I just think that, you know, I think it's great that you guys weren't that couple. Because look where you are now.
There's definitely a good payoff. So
yeah. So you cheat, she finds out, and then how do you inch your way over the years? Because it's not right after that, right? So many years go by before you open up your relationship. Did you guys just start having more freakier sex because of the cheating and stuff? Because you said you got like the best blowjob ever that night. Like, did things start getting better?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like I said, sex was good before, but it's pretty much missionary and me going down on her. Those were the two things we did. And in the, you know, 3-4 years after that, blowjobs she became really good at it. And she got to a point quickly, oddly, where this thing enjoy doing at all, she wanted to do. She liked it. And then we found out she really likes getting spanked. And I already knew she liked having her hair pulled, but we'd explored more of that. And our sex started to get a little freakier, but nothing really crazy, just normal husband and wife stuff in the bedroom.
Right.
Really.
Right.
And then, so then the next big turning point is probably in 2010 or 11. No, 11. So a friend of mine, he might come into the story later too. He's the life of the party. He's that guy. He's that guy. I'm not going to go into further detail because I don't want to identify who he is. I don't want to tell anybody else's stories, and we may talk more about him later. But he calls me up one morning. We had been out drinking the night before. I was at breakfast with a friend at the diner. He calls me up. It's like 10:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. He says he's got his voice from, and he clearly, he just woke up and he's probably still drunk. And he says, we're getting a limo and we're going to a strip club. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope. He's like, nope, we're going to a strip. And I had never been to a strip club in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He had. And I hung up on him. I'm like, you're an idiot. Go back to bed. You need sleep. He calls me up 10 minutes later, sounding chipper and, you know, top of the day. He says, all right, I called. I got the limo. It's meeting us at the bar at noon.
Right.
He's like, you got to get 10 other guys to fill this thing.
Right.
So I'm like, it's in like, you know, it's like less than 2 hours. I'm like, there's no way. And he's like, it's coming at noon. You got to get 10 other guys. All right. So I did. I, you know, mm-hmm. shot out a bunch of texts and we got a dozen guys. We went to the strip clubs that day, went to a few of them, and it was a really amazing day. And at one of the strip clubs, so all the guys are doing, you know, they're going in the back, getting the private lap dances, and I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The girls, of course, are bugging me just like all of them.
Of course.
And one girl, she kind of kept bugging me. And actually, I had danced on this. It was a dozen guys show up on a Saturday afternoon strip club. They'll let you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so happy to see guys spending money in the middle of the afternoon.
Right.
They're not, it's not, you know, it's usually it's a 78-year-old guy in there on a Saturday afternoon.
Right. This and you're is, the hot guy of, in town, so we know you're good.
This is all guys between 20 and 40 years old. All,
uh-huh.
Yeah. So they, we could do anything. So literally I was dancing. The strippers were tipping me. We had a great time, but I wouldn't do the dance. So she pushed me. She's like, why not? So I said, my wife, I think I can explain this to her. I think I can tell her I went to a strip club and I think it'll be okay, but I don't think that part will be okay.
Right.
And she's like, you could dance on the stage. You could do that. That would be okay. And I'm like, well, I'm really not sure. I'm like, but the private dance, I just don't. I think that's just drawing a line. She was really impressed by that. She thought it was awesome. She was asking me all about my wife. We got into her like a real legit conversation with a stripper.
Yeah.
And her husband turns out was the manager. He was there too. And she says, you know, you got to check out this website. And it's a swinger website.
Mm-hmm.
She gives me the website and she says, I want you to look us up on there, find our profile and just check it out and show your wife. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, it seemed like the craziest thing in the world that I would ever tell my wife.
Yeah.
That I couldn't even think about telling her that I had a private dance.
Yeah, totally. It's
so,
a big
of course,
jump.
I go home and search the website immediately the minute I get home. And I never did find her profile because I forgot what her profile was. But I'm exploring this swinger website and there's a description of these parties that go on. And you learn a lot real quick about how people like threesomes and some people like foursomes and some people like to have sex in front of other people and not participate. And some people like the soft swap, but not, there's all these terms.
Yeah.
And it all sounded amazing to me.
Yeah.
And additionally, and I'm going to kind of back up a little bit, our small little town, everybody thinks everybody's a swinger. There's all these rumors about everybody. It's a drinking town.
I think that's every town. I can't even tell you what I hear.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's just not true. It's mm-hmm. just not. And those rumors were there about us for years, for 4 or 5 years.
About you and your wife?
Said it.
Before
yeah.
you were.
Oh, yeah.
Before
everybody.
You were.
Anybody that was fun and went out and had a few drinks and had a few
dollars.
Swingers. They were part of the swinger crowd.
Oh, right. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So plenty of rumors about us. So there's that. To this, where people already were talking about it kind of regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what it meant entirely, to be honest.
Yeah.
At some point, I brought it up to my wife. And she said I was out of my fucking mind. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's like, you're crazy. And I don't know what happened. I don't remember. I really don't. And she doesn't entirely either. But eventually, we decided to go check out a party just to watch. Just to see what it's like for the fun of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was down to do that. I mean, like you were both decided you do this together. And one of the parties that you found on the website that stripper gave you.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just
going to
go. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go to the party and see what it's like. And it was it was like this giant party. They take over the whole hotel, every room, and they have the party in the ballroom. And there's like so many people there. There's spillover into second hotel. So we decided, well, we'll get a room so we don't have to drive home. We'll stay in the second hotel. We didn't stay in the main hotel. So we get dressed up and it's this big party and we show up and it was the most wild thing I had ever seen. I mean, it was just, and we were raw meat to these people. You know, we're newbies.
Right.
And they know it. You know, they know it right away and they love it. And It could have been anything we wanted that night. My wife was a nervous wreck, apparently. She didn't seem it, but she drank a little too much tequila. And she ended up getting sick and throwing up at the party. And we went back to our hotel room and went to bed.
Because she was drank so much. But wait, what did you see? Like, first of all, how many people were there? Like, was it hundreds?
Yes, hundreds.
Hundreds. Yes. Now, what was the demographic? Like, just all over the place from really young to really old? Were the people mostly good looking? Were they surprisingly good looking? Were they not?
No, they were not. I would say the demographic of the party, I wouldn't describe as good looking, but with hundreds of people, well over 200 people for sure.
Yeah,
there were really good looking people there. Mm-hmm. And there was one girl that really took an interest in me there, who was a unicorn, which I didn't know what that was.
What is a unicorn?
At the time, she was there with another. She came in alone. She came with a couple who were friends of hers. She was totally on her own. She was looking for a threesome or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that is a unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah. She loved me and she was all about it. But nothing happened. But I felt like I had found my people. You know, I felt like these are where I belong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you walk up to a group of people and it was just really sexually charged environment.
And what were they doing in the party? Like, did you see people having sex? Were people not dressed?
No.
Were people dressed? Like, is that the sex took place in the rooms?
The sex took place in the rooms, but people are dressed barely, some people. And women are showing their tits and pulling up their dresses, and they're not wearing panties, and they're not afraid to show it. And they'll, touch you, and you can touch them. And it's like everything is a free-for-all. And to me, coming from the strict religious upbringing and being in a monogamous marriage, other than a couple of dalliances, this was incredible to me. It was like Disney World for adults.
Totally. I could imagine.
But like I said, nothing happened, but my wife wasn't disgusted by it. She didn't think it was awful. She didn't want to have sex with anybody else. She didn't want to do that. But she, afterwards she was like, yeah, I would go again. It was fun. It was cool. I wish I didn't get sick, And, so eventually we did go to other parties, none quite as good as that one, maybe, but close, some of them.
Uh-huh.
And, at first you kind of end up in bed with another couple and you're next to them. You have sex and you go home. The next time you kind of touch each other and things go on, and eventually doors just get opened. You have open conversation. You go in with all these rules for each other.
Yeah, but what were your guys' rules?
Our rules at that party was I couldn't do anything unless she gave me explicit permission, and it would only be touching. No oral, no intercourse.
But this
touching.
Is very early in the beginning. Like, after the first time, like, you guys had sex in front of people, did it make your sex life, like, just become so much better, like, once you started doing that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, it did. I loved my wife being naked in front of other people. I had had that fantasy already. I had traded pictures with a friend of our wives, and I loved it. I loved seeing his wife naked as much as him seeing my wife naked.
Right.
Like, that was a real thing for me.
Right.
And I had sent pictures into VoyeurWeb. It's a big voyeuristic website where you can share pictures of your wife, and I had done that once. So that element of her just being naked in front of other people
already was sex, like a huge
turn on for you.
Right.
Sure. And we had had conversations, as our sex opened up over the years, would you ever do anything if the situation was right? Are you more likely to touch a guy or a girl? I just peppered her with questions and drove her nuts at times, but I'm talkative sometimes during sex. And I want to live out these fantasies with her and talk about them. So we had discussed
a lot of stuff, right?
Some possibilities, sure, during sex, and so then eventually the next party a little more happened, and then we were with a couple. We'd only done parties, through the website you can get together with them, a couple, you can go on a date. We never were interested in that. It was just we just wanted to party and have fun and do some wild stuff. Well, one couple convinced us that they wanted to meet up. They were from out of town. They were coming into town. We met them at a local dance club here and hung out with them for the night. And they had a room. We ended up going back to the room. And that was the first time that we actually had sex with another couple.
And you did you do full swap? Like she went with the other guy, you went with the guy. Did she go with the woman?
We were together in the same bed, and that briefly happened. It was a big deal. It was brief. It was over quick. It wasn't nobody finished. But it led to a lot of really great conversation. Mm-hmm. And that night, well, it wasn't the greatest experience in the whole world or anything like that. That opened the door to both of us kind of being like, you know, there's no reason for rules. The rule should be let's be open and let's talk about everything. And,
right.
You know, let's each get out of this what we want and be open about it. And as long as you use protection and have a good time and everybody's safe and we are open and honest, we'll just see what happens.
And let me ask you this. Seeing her with another guy, I'm assuming that was a turn on to you, right? It wasn't like it freaked you out, or did it freak you out, or were you okay with it?
Oh, no, I thought it was awesome. It never freaked me. I never thought, I knew it wouldn't freak me. I never thought for a second it would, and it did not.
Right. You said would encourage if you found out she cheated on you before, absolutely. Right? That was what you were saying. And what about her? Like, did it, seeing you with another woman trigger, like, the cheating stuff, or did she like it, or did she grow to like it? Like, what was her first experience seeing you with somebody else like?
No, she liked it, and she really actually enjoyed it. And as we had some more experiences with other people, she really liked that part. Like, she liked to see how, you know, I could, like, there were occasions where, you know, I got somebody off in front of her and she saw that. And it was like really hot to her that I could give somebody an orgasm. And it was really hot to her how into me they were.
Yeah.
Which was great for me. I was, you know, it was just awesome that she felt that way about it. And it just, it just opened up, remember, we were both virgins when we got married. We hadn't experienced anything.
But also, think about the thing in between where, like, this is a woman who, like, you know, was told you cheated at some point, and she was crying hysterical. And, like, you know, how many years later, here she is enjoying you with another woman. You know, like, how far she came from that time. You know, like, that's kind of crazy that it's the same woman, right? And that's the same thing. And that could, you know, that the story sort of evolved into that is, like, so interesting.
It is crazy. And we never considered ourselves swingers, really.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't, which is kind of funny because I guess we are.
Right.
But we more consider that we have an open marriage now, and that kind of, you know, there's more of an evolution that's taken place since those first few parties. But
yeah, what has happened though? Like, so you had that full swap. She eventually sort of realized she really likes to watch you with other people. Did you just continue to go? Like, did you keep seeing that one couple, or like?
No. We've never had anything like that go on with another couple. Or we were just going to parties to have a good time, and and eventually, like I said, the rules kind of dropped. Like, let's just have fun, and so lots of cool, interesting stuff happened for sure.
Like what?
Well, you know, we've been at orgies where there's many couples having sex. We've been not like you go for an orgy, but like it's at one of these big parties and you end up with lots of people having sex.
Right.
And you know, these hotel takeover parties, the doors are just left ajar. Mm-hmm. You just walk in and out of, you know, room after room, and there's all, you see anything you can imagine.
Right.
And sometimes you participate and sometimes you just watch, and sometimes people watch you and you get to experience some really cool stuff. But we were like, okay, we're swingers now. That never happened.
Right.
We really didn't feel that way about it. We were just trying to find new experiences and figure out what we like and don't like and what's fun and not fun. And it's never not interesting. And after every experience, you know, some experiences weren't great.
Yeah.
There was never a fight or anything like that. It always led to great conversation, and we always laughed about it afterwards. And so it was a really good time. And we were never going once a month or anything like that. It was a couple times a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We did that for 3 or 4 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of stopped. We just kind of got bored with it. It was no longer stimulating. You know what
been
I mean?
There, it's kind like, of been there, done that. It's like, what's left, right? You've seen it all. Right, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can walk into the room and you can see the girl looking at you, you know, okay, we're going to fuck now. Well, that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she's hot, it's not that fun. It's just not, eventually.
Right.
So we kind of stopped, but our lifestyle is such that we have been able to have experiences without that on our own. Our kids are raised now. We had kids very young.
Yeah.
So, you know, our kids are raised. We go out a lot. We have, like I said, we can basically do whatever we want. You know, when you're in 20s, you don't have kids, you party it up and you can do whatever you want. You live it up and you're single and you have a good time. Well, we're in our 40s and we have unlimited funds basically to do whatever it is that our hearts desire at the drop of a hat. And so we get in, you know, some pretty cool environments and situations, and we've had threesomes and, you know, lots of experiences that we're not in a swinger club. We're just with our friends, or we're just with people.
But how does that come up? Like, because you're just drinking, you're with your regular friends and you guys are open and someone brings it. Like, how have you sort of fell into these other experiences? Have you put ads out? Like,
No. Like you were saying at first, just you're with your friends and you're drinking and one thing leads to another and then everybody's having sex.
Just or, like they said, know, in your town, everyone's fucking everybody. This is going down in all these towns. I just told someone this the other day. This is what's going on.
It's really...
You're not the only ones.
It's really... Like, before I had that affair, I would have never imagined that this happens. It's so easy.
Right.
But it is. It really is.
Are you still in that same town?
We do live in the same town. Yeah. I mean, we just had a weekend in Manhattan, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where we went to a sex club there, which was a great experience. And we travel a lot in the summer. And so we have experiences while we're traveling, and it doesn't happen at home. It's not going to the local bar and picking up a chick and bringing her back to the house. You know, it's not that, but, So these kind of experiences happen. We had some threesomes, and we have had a couple, one or two experiences with couples too, where one thing led to another, and not full intercourse or anything like that, but everybody's kind of doing stuff with each other. And
right.
And then the next day, everybody's like, "Are you okay? Yeah, you okay? Yeah, okay. Well, it happened. We were drinking. It was a good time. No big deal. And it's over." A couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, I'm not sure, we were with my friend, the one that got the limo for everybody.
Yeah.
And we were at his house, and he said, "You guys want to go in the hot tub?" And so the three of us went to the hot tub, and him and my wife ended up doing stuff together. This is the first time we had a threesome with a guy.
Right.
This was a very new experience.
Your other threesomes were always with women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Did your wife go with women, fool around with women too, or is she just with you when you've had threesomes? Did she ever hook up with women?
She would do stuff with women. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or in a couple situation. It's not, she wants a man. I mean, she wants a dick.
Right.
You know, she likes the dick. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But it's fun. And certainly there was a point where it was just so new. It was a new experience. And, you know, it's great to try new things when you can't for so long.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you can do whatever you want, whatever you think of. You got to kind of try some things to figure out what you like. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to like everything.
Right.
And so she's let's call her bi-playful.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really, you know, she's not really bi. She doesn't really want to be with a woman alone, but she'll do whatever with a woman if it's fun and there's good energy and the girl has positive energy.
What about your friend though? Is he married or was he a single guy?
No, he's single. He's single, and it's just the three of us hanging out, and him and I are very close. And I knew he would be open to that. You know, there's no doubt. He's just a very open person who lives life to its fullest. And,
right, the life of the party guy, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we had kind of, my wife and I had kind of talked about some stuff, but never specifically about him. And him and I had never talked about doing anything with her either. But to be honest, when the three of us were going in the hot tub, I knew it was going to happen.
Right.
And I knew. And I didn't do anything to make it happen, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really great. I loved it, and she loved it, and
he probably loved it.
Well, yeah, it's great for him. Yeah, he was really into it. Yeah, so like I said, maybe a year and a half ago or so. So since then, they've done stuff together a lot.
Solo.
Mostly with me there, but yes, solo too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you're really cool with that.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great.
You
for
like
her.
It.
I think it's really great for her. It's, I can't be another person. And she's never experienced that before.
Yeah.
So she's experienced it with me there, and she's experienced me there with him, but it's still one-on-one. It's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I want her to experience anything she wants to.
And what about you? Do you do one-on-ones yourself?
Yeah, we're open to that now. And I have. I've had some really cool experiences with women, and I tell my wife about it afterwards. And sometimes she's jealous.
Really?
And sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she's not. It kind of depends on the situation. But every time I'm honest about it and we talk about it and we work through it and we figure out, okay, can it happen again with this girl or not? And if she says no, it's not going to happen. Just not.
Right.
And she's had other experiences with one other guy too. And she's open to more if it happens, but she's not looking for that. It's kind of like one of those things where she's kind of checked it off her list and she's had some good experiences. And with our one friend that we're really close to, I'm sure she will have sex again because their sex is good. They have good energy between them.
Right.
And I'm sure at some point she'll have sex with somebody else, but not like next month or, you know, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't. And that's a really great thing. And kind of that's where we're at in our relationship now, where we went to a sex club a couple of weeks ago, like I said, when we were in Manhattan for a long weekend. And we had a really cool, interesting experience there. It was different than what we had ever done before.
How come? New. What happened in New York that hasn't happened?
Well, we previously? Had never been to an on-premise club like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of played it wrong. We went too early in the night. We should have showed up at about 1 a.m.
Yeah.
The place opens at 10, and we got talked into going at 11. We should have showed up at 1 or 1:30. But we had also had a big day. We were traveling. We were tired. We drank ourselves through Manhattan that day. But still, we saw some cool things, that's for sure.
You mean the stuff that was going down in New York that, like, you haven't seen before? I mean, I'm just curious, what's the difference?
I wouldn't say it was anything we had not seen before, but it was expensive to get into that place. So the people were of means, everybody that was in there.
Yeah.
And early on in the night, it was an older crowd, not people we were into mostly. Oh, they were hot people for sure. But by 1:30, the crowd kind of changed, and the older crowd kind of left, and you kind of looked around and everybody that was in there was kind of between 25 and 40 or 45 and ridiculously sexy and, you know, just super attractive people. And you just see people come in and
you probably, you know, there's a guy named Dr. Guy on my podcast. I just posted an episode recently of him and his girlfriend. They were probably at that party. And they're
really good looking. And if they were there, I know who they are. I don't
really
know if they were there, but there's a couple that could have been them.
Yeah, he's older. She's younger. She's Russian and very blonde. Yep. He's got like facial hair. Like he's good looking. He's got tattoos.
It's possible there's a couple kind of similar to that, but I'm not sure. There were a lot of people there.
Yeah. But they go to that and they're super good looking, and they show me pictures of the people that they hook up with and they're super good looking. So
there were really attractive people there. It was really cool.
Yeah. That's why I was wondering, like, what's the difference between in New York, other places? I would assume that would be a difference, right? Because it's New York City, right? So I don't know.
I think the big difference in New York is, so we're not experienced at this. We haven't been to sex clubs anyplace else ever. This is our first on-premise club.
Yeah.
And people say that the clubs in New York are terrible. They're awful. Go to Toronto, go to New Jersey, go to Connecticut, go anywhere. The sex clubs in New York are not as good. But I think they're looking for a different thing. They're looking for a party. They're looking to go like a hotel takeover party where you go and there's 100, 150 people and they're all good looking and they're all drinking together and have a good time. In New York, this is my kind of estimation of what's going on.
Yeah.
There's so many great places to go drink and have a good time.
Totally.
That people go out and drink and have a good time and they show up at the club at 2 a.m.
Right.
And they find somebody to fuck and they leave and go home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if you're going looking for that party and show up at 10:30 or 11:30.
Right. That's where you said you guys played it wrong.
Yeah, we really did. And there's not a lot of good looking people there. And there's super hot people, but there's also a little bit of an older element to the crowd. And it's just kind of boring.
Right.
If we had it to do over again, that's what we would do. We'd go out, we would drink, and we would have a good time. And if we still had energy at 1 or 1:30, we would.
Yeah, listen, if you ever come back into New York, I'll give you Dr. Guy's email. He'll totally fucking hook you up. He's like that. What? He's that guy. He would just tell you where to go. He'd meet up with you. Like, you don't understand. He would do
I heard
that.
Him. I heard the episode. I'm sure he and I would have a good time together. Just
yeah,
from
he's
the episode.
Cool. He's super friendly and outgoing and whatever. So anyway, so that's where you guys are at. Like, so it's a very open relationship. I think it's, very cool that, like you said, like she kind of gets jealous. Sometimes she gets jealous, but like you guys talk through it, right? And I think that that's the key to being sort of successful at this kind of thing. I think one is that you have a very strong relationship and you've been with each other for a long enough time, right? But the communication thing, because I've had people on here who these kinds of stories have gone horribly wrong, but I've had a lot of couples on here that do this and it's totally cool and it's only added to sort of their sex life and the relationship and everything's like okay, whereas some people think that it would be just the opposite, it'd be catastrophe in the relationship. And it is a lot of the times. But I think the things that I see in people that are successful at it compared to the people that aren't is like, when you say like you're an over-talker, right? Like you're really open, you're really communicative, you push her to be the same way, right? And so you guys are just talking every step of the way. I know Dr. Guy and his girlfriend are very similar to that. They're just very open with each other. And I think when people in any part of life, especially in relationships when you're so vulnerable and care about someone, that I think, communication is key to every part of the relationship. But I think in a situation like this, it's the difference between being successful and not.
I think it is. And then there are two things that I would say. And when people ask, I always say it's the communication. And it's also that one thing that I said earlier that we both know. That as long as you love me, I'm in this no matter what.
Right.
You can be anything. You can do anything. You can make any mistake. You can say anything. And unless you say you don't love me anymore, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere no matter what. And we both feel that way and always have. And so that makes it easy for, because I'm usually the one on the leading edge of any change or anything new.
Yeah.
I'm more the risk taker. And it makes it easy for me to tell her. And to say it to her, and I don't have that worry that she's going to go, what? You're a freak. Get out of my house.
Right, I'm leaving you. Right, there's no fear of abandonment. And I think that that's what's underneath a lot of things and a lot of times, right? But I've always felt like if you know that someone's staying with you and you know that emotionally, the thing that you have like emotionally, right, in your relationship is going to stay intact. What does it really matter if this sexual stuff happens outside, on the side? It's not it doesn't make or break that foundation that you have, right? If you know that it's not going to, because you, like you said, you have that sort of unconditional love for each other, which I think is rare, but you give each other that security, it doesn't have to really sort of matter. It doesn't rock the boat so much,
Right.
I wonder if like when she gets jealous, is it because she worries what's the situations that make her jealous?
Usually it's, she would never be jealous. Like if we went to at that sex club, there's nothing that would make her jealous there.
Yeah.
If we went to a party, which that's not our thing anymore. We're not really into that, but we will go again at some point. We have, not in the too far distant past, but she would never get jealous in that environment. But if it's somebody that kind of there's like a personality type that she knows I'm drawn to. She knows I'm kind of a caregiver and I want to take care of people. And I like to be everybody's friend. And I have friends that are girls. I'm drawn to girls. She gets a little nervous if it's somebody that she thinks I'm taking care of them a little too much.
Right. And she doesn't want you to get emotionally too close.
And she doesn't want them to get emotionally too close.
Right.
And if it's that type of personality, even if it's somebody I barely know, but if it's that type of personality where she thinks they're a little bit of a drama queen, a little bit needy, her feathers are going to get up on her back a little bit and she's going to
put an end
put
to
the veto, put the veto power out there.
Yeah,
and say,
I think she's smart.
Not okay with me.
Yeah, that's
she
smart.
Probably is.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
smart.
She probably is.
She know, you know, yep. I think that that's a smart boundary to sort of keep and not let that go, because you just don't want those that kind of messy shit. But I think that that's really great. It's another success story.
Really,
I was just talking to somebody that was working on my back recently, and he's just like so obsessed with this whole sex thing and like people sleeping around and having open relationships that he just thinks this comes from dysfunctional play. Like, I have to have him listen to this episode, because I'm like, no, you don't understand. I listen to people all day long on my podcast, and so there's a lot of people on my show. They have really great relationships. These are mainly monogamous people that have opened it up, you know, and are doing okay. And there's nothing dysfunctional about it. You know, it's just kind of fun, you know. And but I just think that there's still those people that are super judgy and have that sort of point of view, you know. And I, that's why I love doing my show. And that's why I love for people like you to call in and talk about it, so people could really see that, you know, people do this. It's not, you know, coming from a dysfunctional place. It doesn't, you know, and it didn't ruin your relationship, and it's only adding to it. And I think that that's a good story to tell. And so people know that that's an option that's out there, that it could happen. You know what I mean? And that it's,
yeah,
it's real.
Yeah. But you're right that people are judgy. Like, there's
so
all kind of alternative lifestyles now that are accepted.
Right.
You know, any type of sexuality now, people are open to. The poly thing is talked about openly and a lot.
It's great.
It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the word swinger.
We
don't think of ourselves as swingers. We think of our situation as being, we definitely think of it as an open marriage, but.
Yeah. You got to use the younger
term,
terms.
You say that, and nobody accepts that.
No, you're right, because it's just the fucking word, though. Because if you think about it, everything that everyone's accepting with these fancy words is the same shit, right? But it's just old school. And also, the people that are quote unquote still calling it swinging are older. And, you know, older people, to me, the people that are creating sort of this openness to all this new stuff is the younger generation. It's not the older people, right? I think people are hopping onto it. People that were ahead of their time, you know what I mean? Are saying, wow, thank fucking God this is happening. But a lot of them aren't, you know what I mean? They're still sort of, you know, you grew up in that. I'm in my 40s, late 40s. So, you know, we're in the same generation. So, you know, but I was always ahead of my time. I always was super open-minded, like with all this stuff, you know, and I think it's like fantastic what's going on, but I think it's more the younger people, you know, so you still have those people alive and in our age category that are calling it swinging and looking at it and are super judgy about it, you know, but you don't, with the people coming up, you don't have it. It's just, and I think that that's
really
great.
They don't even expect to be monogamous, a lot of them.
Yeah. Like, and the women too. It's not just the guys. It's across the board.
Right.
It's awesome.
They know in their 20s that they don't necessarily want monogamy.
Yeah.
They may want to fall in love. They may want marriage, or they may want to raise children with somebody. They may want to find somebody to be with forever. But at the same time, there are many more of them, a much higher percentage, are recognizing that monogamy isn't the rule that everyone has to follow.
If that's
that
going to be
maybe
like
it
not
works
the norm
for some people, and maybe it doesn't for others.
Exactly. And I think that that's wonderful. You know, 10 years from now, I won't have a show because no one's going to care to listen to people talk, you know, because it's just going to be open. But like right now, this is still a place where people could come on and talk about things, because we still do have, like, you know, a lot of people who think this kind of stuff is crazy. But to me, what I know, because I do this and I talk to people all the time, and I get a lot of emails from people that never call into my show, but, you know, it's like, besides the people on my show, I know this is what a lot of people are doing. This shit is going down. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are doing it. The person sitting next to you, someone in your family, maybe you, you know, and it's about time we just, like, sort of talk about it, accept it. And who the fuck cares? Like, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't understand why people are judgy about sex anyway, like other people's sex. Like, what
either.
Does it matter?
Why do they care?
I mean,
yeah,
right. I mean, I get if
care?
You, yeah, I get if you care if it's your partner, right? And I understand that. But if it's not, I don't understand what matters, what other people do sexually. But other people, but, you know, whatever. That's a whole lot. We don't need to discuss that. But anyway, thanks for calling in and sharing your story.
Sure.
But I didn't have time to ask you about your pantyhose thing, but you did get into pantyhose, like, late in life, right? Like, that was a thing that you also sort of got into?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's, you know, another subject.
Oh, yeah, because we
day,
have
but,
to do it, because, you know what? Yeah. I can't believe I forgot. And I have to cut this short right now. But Your wife, I'm going to leave this in as a teaser because maybe we have to tape another one. Your wife has like, you got into pantyhose, right?
Yeah.
And you and your wife set up like an online presence for her, right? Where she does, I guess is a pantyhose model or something, whatever. You're going to have to get more into it in a future episode.
Right.
We tape again.
Right.
And she's got like thousands of followers. Like, I mean, and she gets paid for it. I want to know how she gets paid. I have a million more questions. So we have to tape again.
Yeah, that's a really interesting subject matter, especially because she's a professional. She had a great career. And this is like the secret thing that happens on the side. And it's our thing that we do together and probably more mine than hers.
Right.
But she's the model. She's the one that's out there.
Oh, and, yeah. No, we need to do this whole thing. I totally forgot. In a weird way, I'm glad that I forgot because I'm glad that we took the whole hour to sort of talk about everything else and I wasn't rushing through so that I could hit everything. You know what I mean? That's what sort of happens because I feel like there's a lot to talk about there and I have a lot of questions. And so we'll just do a whole other episode. You want to do that?
Sure. Yeah. I'm game for that. Yeah, this has been great. This conversation kind of just organically happened, and
That's how it works. I never have like questions prepared ahead of time. I really like to go on knowing as little as possible. I never know where the conversation is going to go. I'm naturally curious. So I'm, you know, my questions just come into my head because I just want to know things. I just think people are interesting. Right. So, you know, it just goes where it goes. So, but like I said, in a weird way, I'm glad it went this way because I think that there's a lot there and I have a lot of questions about that. And we'll have you on again. So this is just the teaser. Next time we're going to talk about your pantyhose fetish and your girl's pantyhose career, quote unquote.
Okay, sounds good. I'm game for that.
All right, Jeff, thanks for calling in and we'll talk again soon. I'll email you.
Thanks,
we'll schedule
Kathy.
Okay, bye.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone, or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com.